Right, the man sitting in front of me is called Tim Archer. He's a Conservative Party councillor in Tower Hamlets, and he wants to represent the constituency of Limehouse and Poplar in the House of Commons. So tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, I'm a local councillor here in Tower Hamlets, and you know, the Conservatives have been working extremely hard in Tower Hamlets, showing that actually there is an alternative to Labour here locally. Where am I from originally? I'm from South London, but my father's parents came from the East End originally, and they moved out kind of when they got bombed out during the war. So I've got a link here, as so many people do. The reason I'm here now is because, well, I've lived here for 11 years now, and you know, I love the place. It's the place I know and love. It's the place I call home. It's the place that I live with my wife, and we're bringing up our young son Charlie. But it's the place that I really feel is now home for me. But also, in addition, it's the place where I believe so much can be done if only we had the right party with the right ideas making a difference.
And you used to work in financial services, I understand, right here in Docklands where we're sitting now, in a rather plush hotel. I hope listeners are picking up that hotel background ambient noise as we speak. And you're taking what is described on the Tower Hamlets website as a career break. Can you give us a bit more detail there?
Yeah, I used to work for a high street bank in retail banking, so I'm not one of these kind of investment bankers that we hear so much about. I joined the bank I worked for 13 years ago after university, and I was making the tea and doing photocopying and kind of, you know, did all the usual things and worked my way up, and ended up as an area director running lots of branches in South London. So it's a real kind of hands-on experience of retail banking as opposed to anything else. But I ended up working at Canary Wharf, and you know, you get a view of the constituency from Canary Wharf, but it's one particular view of the constituency. It's great working at Canary Wharf, as indeed the 100,000 people that work here every day, I'm sure, will testify to. But it's also a great vantage point to look at the rest of the constituency and remind yourself that you're in the East End of London, you're in one of the most deprived parts of not just London but the country, and there's a lot that needs to be done here.
So you're a nice banker, not a nasty one. It's important to emphasise that point, obviously. Now, you raised the question of the fact that this constituency is extraordinarily varied in terms of the sorts of people here, great inequalities or differences of wealth between different potential constituents. So you've got to get some of those people who've always voted Labour to change and vote for you. Why should they do that?
Yeah, it's an area where, to be quite frank, we've got the lot. You know, we've got more jobs per head than any other part of the country, but we also have one of the highest unemployment rates of anyone in the country. We've got huge disparities in wealth. We've got huge disparities in health. So, for example, within the borough, within Tower Hamlets, there's a difference of 10 years in life expectancy between Millwall and Shadwell. And that's just, I think, unbelievable. But with that huge set of challenges comes huge opportunities, and I believe that you know, this place in particular around Canary Wharf is somewhere that has a bright future if we can get it right. I think there's three things which are really important to local people and to this particular area in Poplar and Limehouse. The first is crime and antisocial behaviour. It's on the rise. We have more than our fair share of crime and antisocial behaviour locally than other parts of London and the rest of the country. And it's something that affects everyone, whether you're in a posh block or whether you're in a sink estate. Secondly, we have a disastrous issue when it comes to housing. Locally, we have 24,000 families on the housing waiting list. Of those, some 14,000 are actually chronically overcrowded. And we're just not doing enough locally to actually keep up with the problem. And if you're one of those families that's on that housing waiting list, you've been waiting for 5, 10, 15, even 20 years, actually there's nothing more soul-destroying, and there's nothing more limiting your ambition and potentially your life chances than the fact you're in chronically overcrowded conditions. And thirdly, we need to do something when it comes to education. We're producing lots of youngsters that have lots of certificates, not necessarily the things that actually get them a place or a foot in the door. And you know, our youngsters locally are as bright as anybody else's, but their ability to get the jobs locally are stymied, I believe, by an education system that's letting them down.
Let's go back a little bit and talk about the housing thing, which I think is an increasingly big and complicated issue right across London. Labour government, even some Labour MPs in London, will admit that their record on building homes hasn't been very good. They're very proud of their Decent Homes initiative, not particularly proud of their record on house building. And yet it is often said that the Conservatives' alternative proposals, in terms of national policy, but also how it's being implemented in some parts of London, are a bit... it's a bit difficult to see exactly what's going on there, and you can look at this two ways, of course, but in Hammersmith and Fulham, they will say that their policies are tremendously bold and radical and are going to have great benefits for the community. Their political opponents are saying, well, actually, this is not a case of putting residents first, to use the slogan. You're putting developers first, and it's not at all clear whether this is going to be, in the long term, better for people on more modest incomes in that part of London. So how would you, in an ideal world, go about dealing with some of those housing problems that you've mentioned in this part of London?
Well, let's just quickly look at the stats first. So every year of the Labour government since 1997, in no one year did they ever build as much council housing as what the Conservatives did when they were in power. And then secondly, if we look locally, the local council has failed to meet its target each year for the past 4 years of actually building affordable homes. So that's the kind of the backdrop of which we're kind of looking at the problem. I believe that one of the problems locally has been Labour's national policy of having national regional targets for what they've got to build. And as a result, what we've been building locally are huge skyscrapers of basically rabbit hutches. Now, if you're a young professional family that wants to live near Canary Wharf, I think it's absolutely fine. And you tend to find that families like that move away when they start to have children and move on to somewhere they can have a garden and better schooling. The problem is that the rest of the community, the poorer people, they can't afford to move away. And they're being forced to bring up families in what I would describe as unsuitable accommodation. You know, families need room to breathe, literally. And I believe what we should be doing here in Poplar and Limehouse is saying, actually, it's not about building ever higher, ever more buildings with greater densities. Actually, what we should be building is the homes that people need, both social housing, but also private housing. And I believe that if we don't change what we're doing at the moment, we're going to end up with two different communities that have nothing in common. One which is a prosperous community that moves on, it's constantly changing. The other is a kind of ghettoised community that is in accommodation that doesn't suit it. So the Conservative policy is, and this is where I bring the two strands together, Conservative policy is actually we're going to get rid of those regional spatial targets. We're going to let local authorities and local areas decide what they need locally, and then we're going to invest to make sure that local people actually have a reason for making a decision as to what they want to see built. So for example, not only will we allow local people to decide what they want in their area, but if they do accept development, they will get all the council tax receipts from that new development doubled for a period of years, which mean, and it will be spent locally. So there is a reward for saying, actually, let's get the balance right between no development and some development. Let's incentivise local people to see the benefits of development, but actually let's let local people decide what's right. And finally, coming back to my earlier point, I think what's right is more housing, proper houses, both for people to buy, but for people to rent. And in that way, we might actually get some people that want to stay in Tower Hamlets because the accommodation is right for them.
Sort of two things on that. One, will developers really want to build the kinds of homes that are in greatest need here, the sorts of homes that people on low incomes can actually afford? And then the other thing is there's always this problem about space, isn't there? People say we need more homes. People say we need more proper homes with gardens and bigger rooms and everything. But there isn't very much space. If you don't want to go upwards, how are you ever going to squash all this stuff in?
The trade-off shouldn't be that just because you're poor, you have to live in high-density, high-rise houses. And I think if we've learned anything from the recent past, it's that actually high-rise doesn't work. And I remain to be convinced that we need high-rise housing. What we need actually is more space. And I think actually what we might have to accept is that we build slightly less here, but what we build is better quality and it's right for local people. And you know, I think it's about squaring that circle. In terms of the cost of doing that, well, and you know, I'm not a property developer, so you know, perhaps a developer will correct me if I'm wrong, but land's value, in land's intrinsic value, is only based on what you can build there. It's based on the planning permission you can get. If you can get planning permission to build a skyscraper, guess what? The value of that land is worth millions. If actually you're going to be told that you can build houses there, the value of that land plummets, and the value of that land is therefore perhaps more affordable. And as we know from any developer, the most expensive bit of a development is the land you're building on, at least it is if it's in London. So if we actually changed our policy and said, what we want locally is a mixture of buildings, yes, some flats, but actually we want more houses, and actual houses with perhaps a little front garden and a back garden, and we're going to encourage that in our development plans, perhaps the value of land intrinsically, locally, will change and it will actually become more affordable to actually be able to build what I believe people want but also people need.
Okay, an optimistic view there. It's always good to have a bit of optimism. In this constituency, and in this borough, a lot of Muslim voters. Now, you've been accused by one of the Conservative Party's house journals, the Daily Telegraph, of pandering to or colluding with an Islamic fundamentalist group, the Islamic Forum of Europe. And the argument is that you should not be associating with these people at all, that you should be speaking out and standing up against this particular strand of Islam. How do you plead?
Well, not guilty. I mean, the hustings that you refer to is actually, I think, supposed to be happening this evening, and I'm not going. My name appears on a flyer along with the names of the other candidates from the major parties here. You know, my line was always very clear. I'm not going, and that's that. In terms of, I think, you know, locally, yes, I've been accused of being of having sympathies with Islamic extremism from the Telegraph. In the same breath, actually the same week, the Respect web site has actually got me down as being anti-Muslim. So, you know, you get things chucked at you when you're kind of out and about asking for people's votes, especially in an area like this where it's kind of writ large, I guess. The Islamic Forum of Europe, I think, is an organisation where a number of allegations have been made against it. I think it's an organisation that I would not personally want to associate with. It's an organisation that potentially, my understanding is, it does do some good locally in the community, but I think it needs to really articulate its case around what it really believes in, and I think it needs to do that urgently. I also feel that part of this debate is actually just trying to shift the debate from the things we should be looking at, which are the local issues like Labour's track record on housing, Labour's track record on crime, Labour's track record on education. What seems to be happening in Popular Limehouse is that we're having a debate around religious extremism and not the issues that actually I think are more important and more of a priority in this election, which is actually around what people need.
Okay, so just to be absolutely clear, the suggestion that you were intending to go to this hustings has always been incorrect, you say?
Well, the conversation I originally had with the Islamic Forum of Europe, and I get invitations to go to lots of things, was I would only consider going if all the major political parties, i.e. the candidates I'm up against, from Labour, from Respect and from the Lib Dems, were also definitely going, in which case I would have a conversation around, you know, what exactly is the format and make my final decision. It's quite apparent that at least one other of the major political parties is not going. Therefore, you know, my conditions haven't been met. But what I would add is I think there is a grey area between a debate, which is what this particular organisation is trying to host tonight, and actually what people believe and what people say. Yes, criticise people for what they say. Don't criticise people just for going along to a debate until you've heard what they've got to say.
Okay. So your reasons for not going are not because you wish to boycott that organisation and anything to do with them. It's precisely the terms that you've just set out for me.
Yes, it's more complicated than that as well. I mean, I actually don't want to give the IFE some greater credibility and greater publicity than what they're already getting by becoming the issue, which is what everyone then debates. I welcome free and open, honest debate. I welcome any debate that we can have locally in this constituency about the issues that matter. I think it's a shame when actually the debate then becomes about who's hosting the debate rather than actually what people have got to say.
Let me ask you this one, a philosophical question. When you hear the term multiculturalism, which is one that quite a lot of Conservatives get quite cross about, what does it mean to you?
I'm not really clear what multiculturalism means because, you know, when you're in Tower Hamlets, it's not really something you think about every day because it's just the status quo, I guess. I mean, someone once told me that, you know, you don't really get many racists in the East End of London because they've all moved out because, to be quite frank, if you don't like multiculturalism, you wouldn't really live here. And actually, I think that's absolutely right. However, that's not to kind of ignore the fact that, you know, cultures are different, are disparate, and sometimes don't always get along. I think local and Popular Limehouse, we have an extremely diverse set of cultures. By and large, those cultures work happily together. Do I believe there's more we can do to actually integrate? Yes, I do. I think there's a lot we need to do locally about integration. I think the way that Labour have gone about dealing with issues of multiculturalism haven't been good. I think they've actually run scared of dealing with some of the elephants in the room, shall we say, and they've actually ignored and avoided the debate around what it actually means to be British and what it actually means to have a common agenda. And my fear is that all too often we are separated as cultures, not joined as cultures. And I'd go back to just how we're building homes in this area. We literally separate the rich from the poor, and within that we literally separate Christian from Muslim, etc., etc. Now that's not got to be good on any level, whether it's a level of how much money you have, where you went to school, or even what faith you are.
On this question of division, it often strikes me when I travel through this part of town that if you come to certain points on the Docklands Light Railway and you look one side, you see a sort of old, rather decrepit London, and you look the other side, you see the gleaming towers of Docklands. Now, perhaps it's an unfair question to ask, but when you look back to Docklands as an enormous regeneration project, and you think about those kinds of divisions which have endured down the years, do you think that mistakes were made and that lessons can be learned?
I think lessons can definitely be learned. I think the divisions are still huge. I think progress has been made, and I think the biggest issue I would point to is almost a rising tide lifts all ships, in that everyone locally has benefited to a degree from the original development of Docklands, even if it's just that we have a much, much better transport network locally than we've ever had before. However, there's an awful lot more to do, and I believe this goes to the very heart of the debate locally around who is best placed to lead us through that, both when it comes to Tower Hamlets Council, but also when it comes to nationally Poplar and Limehouse, and who will form the best government to lead that. Clearly, we need to do a lot more than what Labour have done in recent years. Let's not forget, under Labour, the gap between the rich and the poor's got wider. Now, that's not something that I'd ever thought would be achievable or even possible under a Labour government, but that's kind of how far we've come in politics in this country, and that's why I think we need a change.
And my final question, how confident really and truly are you of winning? Because, of course, we've got the respect part of the picture, haven't we? Some people say that the effect of the rise of respect has been to split the Labour vote, which does seem to be the case, and that this might let the Conservatives in.
Well, I think it's on a knife edge in this constituency. The area's changed a lot. I mean, we've got a boundary change which makes the constituency more winnable than ever before. We've got demographic changes which help. We've got the fact that we're doing better in the polls than we have done before. But the real thing I point to, the reason I'm a local councillor is not because some posh people in the posh blocks voted for me. The reason I'm a local councillor is because I got elected here by a huge swathe of the population, and that's from across the piece. And actually where we're picking up most of our support are from people that previously voted Labour. People on the housing estates, the former council estates, who actually are fed up by Labour and feel let down by Labour, and they see the Conservatives working hard, they see the Conservatives are the official opposition on the council, they see that the Conservatives are helping them and their families, and now they're actually willing to trust the Conservatives to make a difference for them nationally as well. Respect, actually, yes, I've never met many people who have ever voted Conservative that have now gone off to vote Respect. So, you know, net, I think they are helping in the piece. But I think it's much bigger than just that. I think there is more of a change of foot. Am I confident? I believe we can win. Do I know we're going to win? No, of course I don't, because no one knows. It's up to the electorate to make that decision when the time comes. I believe we've got a very, very good chance. I do believe it's on a knife edge, and we'll have to see what happens.
OK, Tim Archer, thanks very much for your time.